is the quintessential tragedy written by that master of the genre, Shakespeare. So how does the current version playing at the Public Theater until September 3rd manage to find so much humor in it while staying true to the play? The New York Times' Ben Brantley describes his production as a gloriously involving play and says it treats the play with an easy, jokey familiarity that's usually reserved for siblings and longtime drinking buddies. Ooh. The show is directed by Sam Gold and stars Oscar Isaac as Hamlet. Joining us today to talk about it are Keegan-Michael Key, who plays Horatio, and Charlaine Woodard, who plays Gertrude. Hello, guys.
Hello.
Good
How
afternoon.
How are you? There's so much black excellence in this room. I'm excited.
Black excellence. I like it.
Yeah. So I actually saw a preview of it. I got invited by my friend Roberta, who's in the play as well. Mm. And Hamlet is one of my all-time favorite plays. I love it so much.
Oh, that's great.
So is this the first time you've each performed the play, or have you done it in the past in other sort of productions?
This is my first
Your
time.
First
and
time.
Also my first time
yeah.
performing in the... Yes, performing. I think everybody somewhere along the lines does some workshop with it or mm-hmm. does it in a class or so, you know, or reads excerpts from it. But yeah, to do the play, to actually do the play, yes, in its full, in its entirety.
Yeah. yeah. It's fantastic. And I agree with the New York Times. There is a level of... it's. You forget that Shakespeare has such a great sense of humor.
Oh, yes.
And you forget the comedy of it because you just think, oh, everything's sad and everyone dies. But there really is this levity to it that balances out the heaviness of it. So how did you guys approach this play and approach your characters? Because you have the language, which is hard, and you have to tell this very like long and intense story in such an intricate way. So how did you guys go about the process of approaching it?
Well, for me, mm-hmm. I originate a lot of plays, and I've only seen one production of Hamlet with Hamish Linklater, and I didn't remember Gertrude. So I approach this the way I approach every play, mm-hmm. as if I have to find her for myself. I have to find her through myself, and the language gives me all these clues. Because everyone talks about the whole thing. So I approached it as if it was an original play mm-hmm. Because I didn't know it. I didn't study it. And so that's how I did it.
Yeah. And what about you, Keegan?
Part of me, actually, I want to say, first of all, I envy Charlaine. Having if you don't know that play, mm-hmm. what a glorious ignorance to have.
Yeah.
To have that become a new thing in your life is an amazing thing. For me, I think a lot of it was, maybe the best anecdote would be that at one point in time, Sam kept on giving me notes and saying mm-hmm. to me, Keegan, it's a little too mid-Atlantic. And you're dropping mm-hmm. your R's and you're really filling out those vowels. And what I want to hear is a Keegan Horatio. I mm-hmm. want you to sound like you're from the Midwest. I want you to finish sentences. I want you to do less of, you know, putting all the energy to the end of the line in iambic pentameter. Like, I want yeah. you to just sit in it and talk mm-hmm. like you're just talking to another person. I want it to feel very accessible. And that, to me, was not anything I was expecting to hear. I was not expecting yeah. to hear that direction, and it was exciting, very exciting.
The thing about working with Sam Gold on this, I loved. He rarely called me Gertrude. He never.
That's right.
He
mm.
never called Keegan Horatio. He calls us Keegan, Charlaine, mm-hmm. Oscar. He
yeah.
wanted us to bring us mm. to it. You know, like, how would you do this if this was an original play?
Yeah.
You can't help but bring yourself to it.
Yeah. yeah.
Bring your contemporary self. With all of your baggage
yeah.
and your feelings mm-hmm. and your history. And I want to tell, yeah, that's right. He wanted to tell it through that filter.
Right.
The filter of our most genuine experience.
That's mm-hmm. right.
And what I love about each of your performances is that there is this sort of modernness. There is this sort of like, this is the first time I'm meeting both of you really, but I felt like I got to know who you were, even though you're playing these characters. So mm-hmm. how do you walk that tightrope of respecting the source material while still making it your own and making it something that people in 2017 can get? Because sometimes even like the language, like even though I love Shakespeare, I read a lot, sometimes I'm still like, wait, what are they saying? Oh, wait, context clues. Okay, now I get it.
Context clues.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Context clues, right, yeah.
Yeah, so how are you able to bring it into 2017?
You know, I think a part of it is the accessibility we were just speaking mm-hmm. about, is that sense of I mean, I think, right, Charlaine, Sam spent a fair amount of time speaking in very colloquial analogies, mm-hmm. saying, but it would be like this, or if that person was Donald Trump, then you would be acting like that.
And and if this was a Steven Spielberg movie, he did a lot of movie references,
that's right.
You know.
He would say, so this first scene.
Okay, very Kubrick.
Yeah, I want this to be very Kubrickian. Yeah. Oh, and over here, like this whole scene should just feel like a Jason Bourne movie. Mm-hmm. So he kept on making very modern 21st century examples, early 21st century examples for us to cling on to. Mm-hmm. And I think that, like you said, that aided the contextual clues that you're getting. So if you don't know what the word nonce means, everything around it that's coming out of Richie's mouth somehow sounds familiar, mm-hmm. and you have enough confidence to lean into the context of the moment.
Right? Yeah. So I don't want to, I'm not going to spoil anything, but there's one scene where you do this crazy act out that I was laughing so hard, and it was so funny. And so can you kind of talk a little bit about how you were able to act out this death?
I will. Well, I mean, there's a part of the show where that we call the play within a play.
And there's a dumb show.
And there's a dumb show prior to that. I'm sorry to do this to you, Phoebe. I'm going to flip the script just a little bit.
Okay.
I kind of want to hear, if I may, I kind of want to hear Charlaine answer this question. I'll never be able to see it.
Oh.
And here's a person who I perform it to.
Right.
Because basically what I'm doing in that moment is performing it to you and to Peter.
Yes.
As opposed to performing it to the audience at large.
Right.
And but I think what's happening is the players have to also give themselves a lives. I mean, we've all heard the old phrase, there are no small parts. So the player, this particular actor, this player who's going to be performing in front of the court, he's going to make sure his part isn't a small part today. Because I'm performing in front of the king and the queen.
Yeah.
And so it's, I think raucous is one word to use, perhaps energetic is another word to use. But it's so funny because she watches it every night and we don't get time to really debrief because we're all backstage weeping.
Yeah. So
after that, everything hits the fan.
Right, yeah. Exactly, right.
Yeah. But I must say, to actually watch him create that moment over a couple of days of rehearsal was amazing. Keegan can make me cry with laughter every night. And I sit there every night and I have something that I have to do after that's totally different.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Totally different. And I say, well, I'm going to live in this moment and not even anticipate what's coming up because who's going to let this go?
Yeah.
You need this laughter. You need this release, you know? And then Roberta shows up.
Yeah.
And watching her create, like playing tennis with him, actually, and do this thing that is so simple.
Yes.
So simple
yes.
and so hilarious. It's amazing to see every night, and every night it's different, although every night it's the same, but very different.
Does it help, Charlaine? Does living in that moment, watching it, help the next, because you and Richie, the next moment when the play within the play is actually being enacted, to me feels so full and so realized every night. Does that change? I'm doing your job.
Yeah,
here.
No, it's okay.
I just because I love watch. She's such a craftsman, a craftsperson.
Yes,
I'm sorry.
Yes.
I love watching you make that turn. Mm-hmm. But then what you and Richie do is so beckoned with
because
emotion.
Because another thing about this play, seriously, this amazing cast, we're working moment to moment.
Mm-hmm.
Moment to moment. That, okay, there was that.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I live that with you guys, that laughter and that craziness. And then I become the player queen.
Yeah.
On a dime.
Like
just
that.
Like you become Horatio on a banana.
Oh, that's true. On the banana. That's right.
You know, just on a move. And so now I'm the player queen, and this is my husband. It's very simple, actually.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But we're always, I feel like we're playing tennis.
I love that.
That's a great analogy.
Yeah, that was great. I'm Phoebe Robson. I'm here with Keegan Michael Key and Charlaine Woodard, and we're talking about Hamlet. And I want to ask you about just this play, when you think about the female characters, you think about their agency and like how quickly your character Gertrude like moved on and got married again, and then has the realization of like what this new marriage is and who she actually is involved with. Like, to embody all of that and to make these realizations and just have it happen so quickly in the moment, how do you infuse that in the character, and where do you think your character's power comes from?
Well, first of all, we worked on certain aspects mm-hmm. of Gertrude for 6 weeks and then mm-hmm. 3 weeks of previews. So there were at first I just dealt with she's the mother. Mm-hmm. She's this African-American mother mm-hmm. of a son that, you know, so right away she was taking no prisoners, yeah. like in rehearsals. She was like, look. Get over it.
Yeah.
It was so. I had a journey that I took with each, all these phases of her. And then it occurred to me, oh, I've just gotten some new information. Ha. Huh. Mm-hmm. Oh, what am I going to do with that? And one thing led to the next. So I did it in sections. Mm-hmm. And then after a while, you realize, oh, I can drop that other thing now because I could be that other, the mother that's really concerned. Mm-hmm. And you know, so there were all these colors that I rehearsed with. And finally, I mean really, until 2 days, I think, before the critic came, mm-hmm. when Sam gave me an ending, a new ending to the show. He changed the ending. It's something wow. that he had suggested 8 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And then he came in one day and he says, I think Gertrude is going to... And I said, okay, mm. now we can chart it. We played with so many aspects of her. But the main thing is I knew that she was a powerful woman mm-hmm. because she just wanted to remain the queen. Yeah. I am the queen. I am the legitimate
monarch.
Monarch mm-hmm. here in this community. So, and I, this is what I want to hold on to.
Wow.
And it's and I had to deal with the love mm-hmm. that she has for both men, and the, you know, she's between a rock and a hard place. Mm-hmm. I love that kind of the complexity of all of that.
Yeah.
The ambiguity of it all.
Yeah.
This is amazing for me to listen to.
Yeah, no, I really enjoy notes. Yeah.
But I enjoy hearing about her process.
Now, I didn't know a lot yeah. right away. Mm-hmm. I came in not knowing anything, which is usually the way I work. Mm-hmm. It's frightening to a cast. But, you know, not knowing is a good thing because then you're on the search. And this is what I love about the process, mm-hmm. the search. And finally, you get to some answers.
Yeah.
And then again, each night, there's the search.
I love that. I want to ask both of you this question. Given the political climate that we're all in right now, I know certainly for myself, you know, being politically active and, you know, speaking out on social media and donating money is one thing, and I like to do that. But I've been turning a lot to the arts, like a lot of music, a lot of theater. Like, I've really been using that as a maybe like a coping mechanism or a way to process what's actually going on in real life through these stories. So I'm wondering how you guys view this play in its version that it's going on right now, considering who's president and how you're using it to help you process through things.
I think maybe it's more allegorical, so mm-hmm. maybe it's a much more allegorical situation. But I feel that Sam really made a lot of mention in during the rehearsal process about this being, and so did Oscar actually, mm-hmm. About this being a play about how one deals with grief. And I'm not trying to be flippant right now. There, a lot of Americans are in a grieving process mm-hmm. of a process that seems like it just began 8 years ago. An older African American might take exception at that and say, mm-hmm. "I'm sorry, I was getting bit by dogs and hosed 55 years ago." So, yeah. So it's been, as you said earlier about your character, you can track a thing. Mm-hmm. So I think that the familial aspect, because let's look at our country as a family. There's going to, at Thanksgiving, I guess, a family at Thanksgiving, mm-hmm. right? Because you're going to have a left-wing cousin and a right-wing uncle and a kid here that's in the middle and a person who has no ambivalence and a person who feels that we should riot in the streets every day and a person who feels like we should let good enough be alone. And I think that that's where we live. Sam is looking at that through this prism of depression mm-hmm. and grieving. How does Gertrude seems to be have actually been a person of action. She's mm-hmm. like Laertes. They're both more people of action mm-hmm. than is Hamlet. That's debatable. But I'd say that's how they're dealing with their grief. Horatio is a person who stands and lets everything simmer inside until someone gives him his marching orders. Hmm. Claudius is a person who's taking action in a different way. And all that taking action is dealing with the death of this other person. And I don't believe that we're necessarily in the midst of the death of our democracy as of yet. Something has to happen. Mm-hmm. There's been a lot of saber rattling in the form of tweets. But what has happened? And the thing is, the good thing is that people are responding and reacting to what's being said. We're saying this to say that, to say this. And that's what's happening in Hamlet. Well, I think this about Hamlet Sr.'s passing. Well, I think that about Hamlet Sr.'s passing. Hey, everybody over here, I caused Hamlet Sr.'s passing. Yeah. I think that Sam is actually, does it give us a salve? Is it a Band-Aid? Is it a cure, the arts? I believe it's all three of those things in different measure. Mm-hmm. And so that's how I feel. I feel that we're looking at the state of our nation, the state of our democracy, in a place of grieving right now. And what do a lot of people do when they grieve? They're in shock. Mm-hmm. And we do crazy things in shock, and we do things we didn't reflect upon. Mm-hmm. We become reactive when we're in a state of grief or in a state of uncomfortability. And so I think that that's what we're exploring. Mm-hmm. And hopefully somehow that rides over to you, to your psyche mm-hmm. and to your soul.
So, yeah. That was great.
Yeah.
Well,
Keegan's great.
I know, right? Dropping those monologues. Yes.
But artists are the mm-hmm. historians of our time. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We tell the story in our work.
Yeah. How do you... I've never done theater, but I do stand up. And one of the things that I love about stand up that no other art form gives me is there is this intimacy that the audience is with you at all times. And so I'm wondering, like, what is it about theater for the both of you that really resonates with you and that makes it unlike any other performative experience that you've had?
Well, it's the most challenging experience.
How so?
Because it is in that moment, in those 2 hours, with that audience. So each audience changes it every night. Mm-hmm. And then you have the cast members who, if they don't come fresh and new, the scene is not fresh and new. So everyone's bringing their A game at all times. And the audience in intimate theater, they have to bring their A game. And this mm-hmm. is the thing about working in New York City, which I love, because the audience knows how to be an audience. Mm-hmm. And they come ready. Yeah. You know, Keegan does an opening. He does the opening speech about mm-hmm. put away your cell phones, blah, 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 before the show starts. And they are ready, you yeah. know, like, okay, good, we're done, let's bring it on. Mm-hmm. And I find it that the process of creating this thing, and then it doesn't finish until we have an audience. It's not done until the people come, and then everyone is finding out everything about the play, everyone in the room. Mm-hmm. There's nothing like that ever, that in that moment you discover the play. And it's ever so rewarding. Or some nights it's ever so unrewarding. Some shows, you know. But this is an amazing experience. Mm. I say be careful what you pray for.
Yeah. You know? So what do you do in those moments where you're just having a night where you and the audience just aren't in the same groove? And what do you think? Like, sometimes I'll blame the audience, sometimes I'll blame myself, you know what I mean?
Well, I'm not doing it for the audience.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm doing it with my scene partner.
Mm.
I'm not doing it for the audience. I can feel them. I can see them. But it's really what's going on in the air between the two of us, or the three of us.
Yeah.
Or the whole group of us in the mud.
Right, 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 right.
What is happening in between the lines in the air between those lines.
Yeah, that what Charlene is saying, it's implicit in her response is that you lean into each other more. Mm-hmm. You penetrate each other more. And then they will have that experience. It's the thing is another example. This is like an example that's just to the side of it is we go to the zoo and the tiger doesn't do anything but be a tiger. He's just a tiger.
Yeah.
And we're fascinated. So the more opportunity I have to say, and it's just little moments. Sometimes, Phoebe, it's hooking into little moments. Mm-hmm. There's a moment where a long time ago, I used to always fill at the beginning of the play, I would fill Charlene's glass and I'd fill Richie's glass. Mm-hmm. Every day, Richie, Claudius, it's the first clue if anyone in the audience is paying attention at that moment. Claudius is an alcoholic. He's an alcoholic because he can't wait for someone to fill that glass for him. I haven't filled Charlene's glass in about 2 weeks, but a couple of weeks ago, her glass got knocked over and spilled. So she came to me and I went, oh, the queen also needs some wine. That mistake is the loveliest gift.
Yeah.
But it's also...
But you see how he was paying attention to my wine glass?
Mm-hmm. Yes, because
we are all connected.
She's my queen.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, Anatole's standing there going, all right, so I got to pack. I'm going to France. You know, and I'm thinking... And every night, if the glass gets knocked over or not, every night I'm thinking, I hate my king. He's a blowhard. I'm not Horatio yet.
Yeah.
Or I'm not Horatio again. And all I'm thinking about is the queen looks a little... Oh, look at her. She's really concerned about the prince, who really should probably get over this. Like, I'm thinking the thoughts of the courtier in my mind, and that helps me keep it. No, every night, I get something different from Oscar, something different from Charlene. Mm-hmm. I'm basically saying what Charlene just said with more detail, but remember that? That was an exhilarating moment because the glass got knocked over, and we were just living in the moment.
Right.
And she needed a little wine that night. So that night she needed a little more wine, which made Gertrude number 14 different than Gertrude number 13. Which was make her. And then the next night the glass didn't fall over. Now Gertrude number 15.
I came to Keegan needing a drink.
A drink, right? Exactly. And the funny thing is, here's the thing: a theater does that. Another thing can. You're living in a technical and artistic space at the same time. She needed to have the actor needed to have the glass full because Oscar needs to take it from her.
Right.
But the character needed more of a drink tonight. So she's a completely separate. Completely different Gertrude than she'll ever be again. Mm-hmm. And you're right, there's a stamina that we, within the challenge, there's a stamina that's not required. Oh, here's what I was going to say. Mm-hmm. The thing that makes it a challenge and makes it different than other art forms. You could throw away your canvas. You could phone it in today on camera and let the editor worry about it.
Huh. Mm-hmm.
You could decide that I'm just going to stand back and not give a much energy. And I know that Teddy's feeling really plucky today, so he's going to shred it in his solos, and I'm just playing the bass anyway.
Yeah.
But when you're on stage, you're naked.
Mm.
There's no one there to help you. It's all you every night. Give it your all. You have no choice. That's why people get upset at sports figures, at athletes. He was out there just humping it.
Yeah.
I paid my $57 for my football ticket, man. They should be giving it their all out there. We must give it our all because we rely on each other as teammates. And so I can't rely on those other artists.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I can't rely on those in right? It's collaborative in a different way when you're on camera. I rely on everybody, the cameraman, the editor. But here it's just us, and it's just them.
And we take that free fall.
We take that free fall every night. Well said, Charlene.
Yeah. Well, before we get out of here, I want to ask each of you, what has been your favorite moment so far doing this play? Like, or either that you've been involved in or just watching? What have you...
My favorite moment is when the player does a poem.
Mm-hmm.
For Hamlet.
All right, I'm sorry,
we're out of time. I want to keep talking to you guys, but thank you guys so much for coming in. And if you haven't seen Hamlet, go. It's amazing. It's gonna be the best night ever. So thank you so much, Keegan
you,
and Charlene, for coming in.
Thank you so
and
much.
Best of luck with everything else.
Thank you. God bless. Thanks.